Yep. Oh, there you are. Okay. Yeah. So we'll go around this part of the room and introduce ourselves, and then I'll do a little welcome and some comments, and then I'm going to turn it over to the district council person. Is the school board member here, Cindy? Have you got a seat up here? Okay. All right. Okay, why don't you go ahead and start, Chris?
I'm Chris Ledoux. I'm the city traffic engineer.
Leanna Cumber, District 5.
And this is Matt Carlucci at large, Group 4.
Nick Howland at large, Group 3, also Landon Parent.
Great.
Cindy Pearson, School Board District 3, which is comprised of City Council 4 and 5.
And just to let some folks know, we have Paul Soares with the school board out there. Anybody else with the school board here that needs to raise their hand? And then we got John Pappas here, so we're sure to find a solution. I mean, it's like falling off a log when John's here, and got Chris at his side. And then we have Ms. Sheffield here, Jennifer Sheffield, and we're going to give you an opportunity to speak. But I just want to thank you all for taking your time at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday to come in, and we want to help. We want to try to look at the big picture, and we also want to know what happened with your son, who thankfully is okay. So at this point, I'm going to turn the meeting over to the direction of the district council member, Leanna Cumber.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. So I will be quick so we can get down to business. We do have a traffic engineer and the public works director here to kind of talk through all of the traffic issues in that area. And, we know it well. We were just there almost a year ago. Yeah. And, I know that Cindy can kind of speak to this, but middle schools, if I understand, don't have crossing guards, and so we were able to get JSO to get a crossing guard there, and also as part of the negotiated PUD for the publics, we got an additional crosswalk that will be put in. So we have a couple of crosswalks there, and then we did have the additional JSO representatives there too as well. So look forward to hearing from you all and hearing from everyone else, and I will pass it on.
So I think we'll hear from Ms. Sheffield. Ms. Sheffield? Jennifer Sheffield? You can go up to that mic if you don't mind. That way we can make sure everything, I guess, we're being recorded. But that's the official way to do it. Why don't you just explain to us the experience that you had and the observations as a parent, along with Nick, who has a son or a daughter that goes there.
Okay.
Just
kind of the details of the event?
The details of the event and then kind of the big picture of what you'd like to see.
Okay.
That you think specifically might help.
Sure.
You know?
Okay. Sure. So just a brief, we don't have to spend a lot of time on the accident, but really just the catalyst of why my husband and I kind of got a passion around this. So Shane and myself, we have 3 children. This is my first one to go to Landon. My other 2 did not go to Landon, but they are older. And we love Landon, but what happened a couple weeks ago is that he went out to PE class. And if you're familiar with the layout of Landon, to go to PE class, he actually had to cross over one street there's no signage on, I believe that's Minerva, between the school and the basketball court. And then to get out to the track, you leave the basketball area, you cross another working street, and you get to the track. And so he had proceeded all the way to the track, and when they were coming in, when the class was over and they were coming in, one of the teachers did function as like a crossing person between the track and the basketball court. So now we're coming back towards the school, And then when he crossed from the basketball court area to Landon, that's where the accident occurred. He got hit by a car there. Unfortunately, he is okay, but it's extremely unnerving to send your child to school. And they called me at like 11:45 and said, your son has been hit by a car. I said, hit by a car? He's at school. And they said, yes, coming in from PE class. So, you know, from there, again, he's been okay, but it has really become a mission of Shane and myself for that not to happen again. That is a parent's worst nightmare. And it ended okay, but I think there are a lot of things that can be done around that school to improve, you know, I mean, what's happened. I mean, not to improve what's happened, but to improve going forward, you know, how the kids run and travel through the campus.
Ms. Sheffield, can I just introduce one person here I need to do? That's Ms. Bledsoe. She is the principal of Landon Middle School. My wife is a graduate of Landon when it was a junior high. And Paul and Ms. Bledsoe, if y'all would like to join us up here, you're more than welcome to. We have plenty of seating. Got two over there. And so I just felt like I should do that. Thank you for explaining that. And then why don't you continue with... thank God your son was okay, and but
yeah.
You know what?
But I think as I've heard and talked to different people in the community, this has been a long-standing problem at Landon, and I don't know if there have been other incidences. It doesn't really matter, but going forward, we don't want that to happen again because we got fortunate this time that he was okay with just some scratches and bruises and mentally fine, but we need to, I think, make some changes. And so I think a lot of it, and Shane... I apologize that he's not here. He has a terrible back problem today. But he's done a lot of research on it, I think taken a lot of pictures probably that most of you all have seen. But the signage, or the lack of signage around Landon that you're even in a school zone when you're in the middle of the campus is lacking for... lack of a better word. There's no indication that you're in the middle of a school when you drive down Minerva or Acadia, coupled with the fact that cars are allowed to park along those roads. And so the visibility is nil. When you're crossing from the track to the basketball court, and then again from the basketball court to Landon. So there's just, I think it's incumbent upon us to not only let the drivers know that there's a school, because my gosh, that driver that hit my son was as shaken up as probably anybody. And there's no signage to indicate to him that he should even be looking for a kid.
What road was he on?
He was on Minerva.
Okay.
And that's the one that runs between Landon and the basketball court.
Okay, right.
So the one closest to Landon.
But on the Landon side of Atlantic Boulevard?
Yes. Correct, yes.
Okay, thank
you. Yes, they do not cross over Atlantic when they're on the school campus. They cross over Minerva and Acadia when they're on that.
Yeah.
Right. That's correct. So I feel, you know, again, just from the thought process of a driver, it's incumbent upon us to let them know, because they have to live with that if they hit someone, right? And then two, it's just it's really, really difficult to see anything as you're crossing over these roads. So the visibility in terms of parking is just not sufficient for these kids.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Before we go to Ms. Pearson, is there anything else you'd like to say? And then if there is, as we go through the meeting, just do your hand like that, and I'll find a way to wiggle you back up there.
Yeah, that's good.
All right.
I think that's great. Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you for being here. I hope Shane gets to feeling better. I just sent him a text, told him we were going to roll the red carpet out for you. Next is the school board member, Cindy Pearson. So thank you for being here. And
you're welcome.
I tell you, trying to get a district council member and a district school board member's calendars together is not easy.
Well, everyone says May is the new December. At least it is in school world.
Yeah,
so
I bet.
I'm just going to briefly kind of rehearse my part in this, and then I'm going to hand it over to Mr. Soares to talk about what DCPS has done to engage with the situation. And I will say, I did not say in my introduction, but I am also a Landon parent. And my for at least 7 years, my senior was my first student. So 3 years at Landon, 4 years of high school. So I've been on this campus actively, daily, before school, during school, after school, for 7 years now. I'm pretty familiar with it. I will also, for a bit of history, say that there was an issue with students trying to get to Landon, the biker-walker situation, last year with the public's development when the sidewalk was eliminated and the crossing situation, and Council Member Cumber convened a meeting and brought everyone together. You may or may not have been there, but brought everyone together and came up with some solutions for that issue. So we need to realize that Landon is, while you don't think of it as an urban campus in the terms of what we think of as urban, it is probably one of the more urban campuses that we have in Duval County Schools. It is at the intersection, a block off the intersection of two very busy roads in an area that is growing and growing and in San Marco with development. And we have students who need to cross some very busy roads to get to school, to get away from school. And then now we realize on campus. I will say that for the first 6 years my students were at Landon, I didn't think much about traffic on Minerva and Arcadia. I really didn't give it much thought. But in January, when I was coming to pick up my daughter from soccer practice, noticed that there were a lot of cars parked on, is it Acadia or Arcadia?
Arcadia.
Arcadia. And asked the athletic director, and she said, we know, we've been working on this. We asked about it. We were told they have a right to park there. And I took my own pictures and noticed there was no school crossing sign at the Atlantic end of Arcadia. I noticed there was no speed limit sign on Arcadia. There was no crosswalk where the students cross over to go to PE, but also for sports for three seasons. Also noticing that there were no parking signs on the gate, the double gate, which would be the access for an emergency vehicle or for our maintenance to cut the field. And there were cars parked in front of that. So I took those pictures and put them in an email and sent it to Mr. Soares for our facilities and operations with the knowledge of our principal and permission of our principal to get engaged, because it's really, you know, I try to stay in my lane. But for an extra layer of support for the school, handed it over to Mr. Soares, and this is where I'm going to hand it over to him so he can tell what happened next.
And let me just say, we have a 4:45 hard cutoff time, so that's, we got 30 minutes to continue the engagement. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, let me try not to repeat some things, but following on Board Member Pearson, we met with John and Chris Ledoux virtually February 2nd, and we went over those same concerns, came up with a plan to do the crosswalk, to do the pedestrian crossing, to put up the signs, to visit the speed limit issue, because in order to go from 30 to 25, they have to go through a process, and also place no parking signs. So essentially what Ms. Pearson just shared, a plan that basically did that on the 2nd of February, and then I think Public Works was in a process of implementing that plan when this other incident occurred on around like April 6th, I think. We re-engaged with them because that plan was really focused on Arcadia more than Minerva. And then we talked about what else can we do to improve Minerva as well. The global picture is that if you look at the school and then the property in the middle and then the property on the other side of Arcadia, that's school district property. Optimally, we would just do a right-of-way request and close those roads. And that would stop any traffic. But the problem is the impact on the community would be pretty drastic to close those roads. So we came down to an issue of traffic calming on that second round. Like, what can we do with speed bumps? What can we do with speed limits to try to slow the traffic down? Because the right-of-ways already exist, and they do go through the campus.
Ask the question, please. Did the shutting down of the closure of Landon Avenue going through to Kings Road, did that increase cut-through traffic on some of those roads?
Making that one way? It likely. I don't have official stats. I mean, Chris or John might, but obviously when it becomes one way, that does encourage use of the other roads. So that could have had an impact.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but that's really the solution for Minerva. So there was really a two-phase plan. One focused on Arcadia, going back to the beginning of February, was in process. And then the second part came up in April, which was a follow-on for doing the additional traffic calming, traffic slowing, since we don't reasonably think that closing the roads is a viable solution. But under a normal school campus, that's what would happen. And that's what we've done at other campuses. So that's really my part.
Yeah, we Council Member Cumber.
Great, thanks. So, and this is probably for Chris. I'm looking at the map, and it seems, well, one question I have is, so does the school board own the entire block? Because there's a bunch of houses that off of.
No, we do not.
Okay. So it'd be hard to close because you have this. I have it up on my.
Okay.
Handy dandy. Chris, is there a reason why we can't do on both Minerva and Arcadia speed humps and then do where we do the crosswalks, do painted crosswalks so they're more vibrant and so people understand that they can be tied to the school. Schools do them all over. And I know one thing schools do as well. So I would think that short of closing these, the best solution would be to do speed humps. Not bumps, speed humps, which I'm sure the city could, we could probably show that it's a safety issue. We could probably take financial responsibility for those. And then where the crosswalks are, I would recommend doing painted crosswalks that the school, Landon could choose what it kind of looks like because it makes them pop more. And then I know another thing that schools are doing that are in urban settings are putting out delineators. And so to slow traffic and to give kids more of a buffer when they walk off the curb. And so maybe looking at, is there a way to put delineators there? Or even, I don't know, talking to the Landon parents, I don't know if you would need as much right-of-way in the street itself, but maybe during, I know that what DC schools are doing is they're putting delineators off the curb into the street, so to make the street slower, and so you have to actually, not only do you have the speed bumps, but you're one way, and so you have to go much slower down through, and that way during the school day, and then you can, they kind of put the delineators up, and then they kind of fluctuate them, but that's worked really well on curbs.
I may be the only one in the room who doesn't know what
a delineator is.
Sorry.
Delineators are those rather ugly things that stick up out of the street, and but they make you not cross.
Like candlesticks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're not attractive, but they work. And because I know D.C. was having a big problem with kids stepping off the curb and not having sight lines because of the parking, and so the way the DC Public School District in the city of DC resolved it was to, on those high incident areas on the corners, they put delineators out so the kids, it actually gave the kids enough room so they could go out into the street past the car because the delineator stopped cars from going. So I would think those three things could really, because you'll also, by its very nature, discourage people to go down there if you have the speed humps and you have some delineators and so forth. So if you can speak.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that was a lot. Sorry.
Concerning the crosswalks and the delineators, yes. We already have crosswalks planned to be put in at both locations on Minerva and Arcadia. And delineators, that's a great idea. We weren't considering that, but that's something we can consider. There is a device called an in-street sign that reminds people that there's a crossing. It goes right on the double yellow in the middle of the crossing, so it's visible in both directions. It's down near the down low where you would find pedestrians. So the driver's eye would be aimed towards there instead of up at a sign that's 8 foot in the air on the side of the road.
And depending on what the principal thinks, the painting the crosswalks, apparently there's some flexibility on the color. And I would go with land in orange. That's what I would
do. You could do Chris knows, Chris and Pappas know how much I love my painted crosswalks. But if you haven't seen them, if you just Google painted crosswalks, they really have become a proven method to catch people's eye, because we just naturally ignore zebra stripes because we see them all the time. And it's also fun for schools, because then you can get a little school spirit. You can do those. But it really pops. I also think that I'm a big fan of them, but it would also indicate to drivers that you're on a campus. And I think people would, if you see the Landon, even if it's spelled out Landon or whatever you want to do, I think that it indicates to people you're actually on a campus and you're on a city road, but you're on a campus.
Okay. Well, right now we're planning on putting in high emphasis crossings, and that is the zebra crossings or the piano keys. That is the standard. We're open to ideas. I'm going to hand my business card over this way.
Smart man. I was just fixing to suggest that. Go ahead.
There are limitations on the colors that are allowed to be used in traffic control. So we could talk about that in more detail.
Okay. Let me see.
I'm sorry. And regarding speed humps, our current policy is we install them in residential areas when neighbors sign a petition and 75% of homeowners agree to put speed humps on their road, or when there is a safety problem, when our crash data, speed study, and analysis show that there's a speed-related crash problem on a road that we can document. We have been successful in installing speed humps on places like Peach and Forest over in Southside's estate area, and they've been effective in slowing the actual speeds down from about 40 to less than 30 miles per hour. Now, the other way is through a CIP project. We currently do not have a standard that addresses school zones or school properties, so that we would be breaking new ground. So I'd be willing to discuss that, but at the current moment, it is not part of our policy.
I'm going to go to school board Pearson, but I would like to invite the officer from the JSO. I couldn't see you.
Here I am.
Why don't you come up and join us, because you're going to be the next up after school board member Pearson to make a few remarks, if you don't mind. And then we're going to see what we concluded to a plan. I want to hear actually from Ms. Sheffield as well after you've listened to all this and see what you think. And then we'll, if we got a plan that we think we can execute, then we'll call it a day. Okay.
So thank you for those suggestions. I always want to be careful not to create a problem when we try to solve a problem. And so if you are not familiar with the traffic backup at Landon on Atlantic Boulevard in the morning for drop-off and in the afternoon for pickup, I'm envisioning delineators. I would not want to interfere with the carpool turns into they turn onto Thacker from Atlantic, and the traffic will back up, no joke, all the way past the railroad tracks, especially at the beginning of school. And so I want to make sure that y'all are aware that that parallel parking lane becomes a de facto carpool lane. And so if anything is coming off a sidewalk, that it would not interfere with the carpool lineup, because that's the only place parents have. And the traffic is already bad enough with Bishop Kenny and Episcopal coming west on Atlantic. and the Landon parents lining up on Atlantic. It's quite bad.
Yeah, that would be on Atlantic, not Minerva or... Yeah, so the delineators would be on... They wouldn't be on Atlantic.
They would be on the side streets, right. And not... Okay, great.
And not on Packer.
No, no, because you want to use them to control traffic. You know, potholes control, slow down traffic too, according to certain people. But they control traffic, and they slow traffic, and they get... So you want to put them, you know, you want to put them to where they're, it's like a permanent, you know, during the school year type thing. So if we used them, I think it would be smart to put them on Minerva and in Arcadia to kind of control that, especially since kids are going back and forth.
I have, is that what you got? Okay. And what, I'm sorry, what's your name, officer? Okay, Detective Tranquil, would you like to make a few remarks of what you've heard today and any suggestions or cautions that you might want to recommend or suggest?
Okay, so my only involvement was we put a crossing guard out there last year at the intersection of Mango and Atlantic, and there was a SRO, Officer Jackson, there. I'm not sure if he's still at the school, but he was at Backer and Atlantic. And pretty much my crossing guard really didn't have a position there. She sort of, as the kids came up, she referred them to Officer Jackson, and he crossed them across the street. So because he had a system already set up, we didn't want to interfere with that, and so we sent the crossing guard back to her assigned post. But there is a lot of traffic that I saw in the morning.
And the traffic's coming from Atlantic?
Everywhere.
Yeah. You know, when I was the district council person years ago, they had bomb threats over at Landon, and I had a group of people wanting to close up Landon Avenue, and I wouldn't do it because I felt like you need as many ways to get out as possible. And eventually, the next council person got in and closed it up. And so I was always curious if that created more people coming down Landon and then cutting through on those different streets. Anyway, so our next speaker, we've heard from the JSO. Ms. Sheffield, do you have anything you'd like to add in since we've been talking and about different solutions and ideas?
My one thought would be...
I need you to go up yonder to the... There you go. And then we got to have public, we're going to try to have some public comment as well.
So my one thought would be if you are traveling west on University, this is just a sample so I can give you an idea. If you're traveling from San Jose Boulevard and you make a left on a University and you get not too far up, there are some very fluorescent signs that are pedestrian crossing signs that then turn into some blinking lights.
Flashing, yeah.
Like it's almost, I would think, impossible to miss. I'm wondering if something like that is feasible, because again, I feel like we're talking about middle school children, you know? So my son happens to be in seventh, he's 13. There are some as young as 11 that arrive at the school. Delineators, I'm not super familiar with them. I, like you, Cindy, needed a definition even, so I'd have to see them. But again, I feel like the crux of the problem is just signage and visibility. And so what is the best chance of preventing this again? And I just, you know, I don't know, is that...
We'll ask Mr. Ledoux.
Mr. Ledoux, is that an option?
yes. As a matter of fact, we've already agreed to several of the things that you've mentioned.
Okay.
And the flashing yellow lights, the jargon is RRFB, Rapid Rectangular Flashing Beacon.
Okay.
And it's a push-button activated flashing light used for pedestrian safety. And we have issued a work order to our contractor to install RRFBs on Atlantic Boulevard at Mango and also at Arcadia. So there will be two additional pedestrian crossings crossing across Atlantic. The reason for the one at Arcadia is it lines up with sidewalk to the south that was part of an old Safe Routes to School project put in over 10 years ago. So we have an opportunity, and that sidewalk goes all the way down to to Mitchell Avenue. And so that's in the works. Right now we're experiencing some delays with concrete work, but that is...
And that's to cross Atlantic.
That's to cross Atlantic. And then in addition to that, we've agreed to the school warning signs approaching the campus on all three roads, Thacker, Minerva, and Arcadia, in both directions. And also the crossing, at the request of Mr. Soares, we're putting in a what we call a mid-block ped crossing between the, I guess, the basketball area and the track area. And I just found out today that the concrete was put in last week. So we're going to put our sign crew and thermoplastic pavement marking crew to work, and that should be done in the next 2 to 3 weeks. While we're there, we noticed that the existing crossing on Minerva was damaged by some utility work. It was dug up, and then they repaved it, but they didn't put the crossing back. So we're going to go ahead and repair that crossing. So if you want a special crossing, not the standard kind, let me know real quick, because we're going to get our crews on that. The speed limit signs. Now, right now, the default speed limit in residential areas is 30 miles per hour. You don't need a sign for it to be enforceable, but we agreed to put up 30 mile per hour signs. I will tell you, our recent speed study showed that the volume is very low, volume of cars during non-school time. It gets really busy during pickup and drop-off, but the other times the average speed was between 21 and 25 miles per hour. So our study did not indicate a big speeding problem. It is on Thacker, Arcadia, and Minerva. So we did. We gathered the data, and basically we try to get 100 vehicles to get a valid sample, but you can't wait there all day. So we cut it off at 2 hours. So after 2 hours, the busiest road had 31 vehicles on it.
So, just to try to move the meeting along, if that's if you have any more questions, I don't want to interrupt you, but can we kind of get an idea of what our expectations are in the short run and then in the long run? And then I'm going to recommend, and I can have Sherry work with Debbie, Councilmember Cumber's aide, to do a follow-up meeting about mid-July before school starts so that we can see what has actually been executed and the parents will have an idea and the principal of where we're at so that we get ahead of the game before school starts. Can we do that?
Sure.
So if you just kind of give us a short run to long run and approximately what dates, weeks or whatever, the paintings, other the
yeah.
sign.
I would say in
traffic crossings.
In 2 to 3 weeks, crossings. We should have the crosswalks on Minerva and Arcadia and all the signs on Thacker, Minerva, and Arcadia installed. The RRFB, the mid-block ped crossings on Atlantic, will take longer, and I don't want to hazard a guess right now. It's kind of out of my control when the concrete work will be done. The other thing that's a challenge is the apartment complex that's being built off of Arcadia. It's kind of conflicting with our construction zone. They'll be overlapping, so we might not be able to do that one for a while. But it looks like we'll be able to get the crossing in at Mango next to the Publix in a little bit earlier. That's what we're hoping anyway.
Okay.
And I believe I think that's going to help the kids get to school, and it'll assist the crossing guard as well.
Okay. All right. Why don't we go to public hearing, and you can start off, sir, and anybody else who wants to speak. Is that okay with you, Councilmember Cumber? Go ahead, sir. You got three seconds to state your name. And, no, just give us your name and your address.
Eric Bergeny and my son, Max, was actually with Benjamin. And so if Benjamin had not gotten hit, it would have been my son, Max. So he was directly behind him. You know, and I do appreciate everybody getting here, by the way. I think this is a big thing. This is our fifth year at Landon. Love the school. Love everything about it. Love the fact that it's urban and it can be where it is. I do feel, as everybody here, you know, 30 miles an hour is 30 miles an hour. I understand all the things that you have to do to get that done and to the studies and all those other things. But, you know, I think the if I just go straight to solutions, the RFP, it's great that we're doing the Cross Atlantic. But if we look at the number of kids that we have crossing every day that goes from a PE class into the basketball, then I've been there for soccer games when I've had cars going through at 50 miles an hour and us yelling at them. And I think, you know, you've been there as well. I think the real concern that we have to just address is the fact that if we could put some sort of RFP, as you call it, on the two spots there on Minerva and Arcadia that a teacher or a PE coach can press, and then the kids can walk, because it's really what happens. It's just in the middle of the day that when you have athletic events. So all those other things across Atlantic is great. But I think we just have to address it. And I don't know from the principal, from your perspective, if signage is great, but until you have a flashing light and you have some way to just say, hey, we got to stop, I think a kid can do it, a teacher can do it, but I think if there's any way to do it from a cost perspective or anything else, that's our best solution.
Those inter-campus roads is what you're talking about.
It's just the inter-campus. That's we have to address right now. We have so many kids that go back and forth, and like it or not, my son could have been in the wrong, right?
Right.
Running across, and he shouldn't have run, and all those other things. But
is there any signage that, Mr. Ledoux, that you're proposing for those inter-campus roads? Or maybe Ms. Cumber knows the answer to that.
The crossings on Minerva and Arcadia will be brought up to standard. They will have standard pedestrian crossing signs, advance sign, and a crossing sign at the crossing, and also no parking on either side, 20 feet away from the crossing, to give a little more visibility to the pedestrians, so pedestrians can see oncoming cars. So that's the standard signage.
Can I just ask, Chris, when you, because I feel like you and I have been in countless traffic calming meetings together. What's your favorite traffic calming solution?
My favorite.
Make people slow down.
It's hard to say. It's.
What is the one you always tell?
I think the speed humps are very effective in slowing down the actual speeds of traffic.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Because if anyone goes on Kings Avenue right now, the problem with the relying solely on the crosswalks, the blinking crosswalks, is drivers don't know what to do, and people don't know what to do. So they press it, and then people, and you can see it outside of the old Bearded Pig, there's one, and everyone just kind of freezes, and then people kind of step out a little bit, and because everyone's confused as to what, everyone's waiting for someone else to do something. So people are waiting for the, drivers are waiting for the people to walk, people are waiting for the drivers to stop. I think those are good, but I think if not combined with speed humps on those blocks, you're really going to end up with the same problem, because as Chris will tell you, you know, you can lower the speed limit, but it's only as good as people are going to pay attention to it. So people have to pay attention to speed bumps, humps, excuse me.
I think
doing that combined with, you know, having a crosswalk, and I think it's just going to take some training for the teachers and for the kids, because they're not as effective as.
And then let me ask, are you recommending not doing an RFP?
No, I'm sorry. I just said the crosswalk
is great, but.
Let
Councilmember Cumber finish
up. It's the same. The crosswalks we do now are the RFP.
That is the only type we do now?
It's the ones we're installing now. We don't only do those, but it's
okay,
the
I
ones
just
like
make
we
sure
could.
For record, if we had that we would actually very specifically specify that. So that, because I think, and anyone's been in schools or other things, for a teacher to be able to hit a button to actually get one more added feature, and I'd love the principal to say something, or Nick, I mean, you've been to these soccer games, and I just want to be really clear in what our solutions are. I think a crosswalk is great, but if it's a crosswalk only with a speed hump, great. But think we've got to go to that extra step, because even 20 miles an hour, which this car was probably only going 20, that'll kill a kid. So,
sure. So yeah, I just wanted to make sure that, like, the blinking crosswalks alone have not shown to have much effectiveness, because people don't. It's just not. So if you combine it, if you combine any sort of crosswalk with speed humps, that's when you get people to physically slow down. What you have to do is have people physically slow down and force them to physically slow down, because, you know, you can have even, I mean, the one on University has been hit by cars. So so I just want to make sure that whatever we do actually solves the problem, and, you know, once and for all, and short of closing the streets.
Why don't you get back to us with speed humps, what can be done on the appropriate roads, how much, who would pay for what, and if you can send that information to Councilmember Cumber, myself, then we'll take it from there.
And Councilmember Holland.
I'm sorry, Councilmember Holland.
Copied as well.
And Ms. Pearson and everybody I forgot. Ms. Sheffield has a question, but go ahead, Councilman.
Speed limit is 30 on both Minerva and Arcadia?
Yes.
Is there any, I don't know what our ability is to drop that, but is there any way to drop that it's on campus?
Yes, there are different ways to drop it. The city has an ordinance which allows lowering speed limits in residential areas to 25 or 20 with 75% of the homeowners agreeing. Yeah. And it depends on the width of the pavement. Okay. If it's really, if 25 or 20 is conducive with that. I have to tell you and volunteer, based on the speed study that we've just done, we could probably lower it to 25. But like Council Member Cumber just said, that's not going to change the actual speeds. Sure. They're already, at least the sample that we got during the time of day when we collected our sample, they were already traveling below 25.
Well, if we do all the combination things and do 25, if we can do that immediately, I would suggest we do that immediately without having to go get signatures. Okay. They own the whole freaking campus, so, you know, I'm sure she's for it. So you got 100%.
I'll agree to that right now.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, Ms. Sheffield, and then I want to go to whoever else wants to speak, and then we're going to close the meeting because I'm pushing it close.
I just had one final thought that I just wanted to reiterate for everyone to think, because, you know, I appreciate, again, like Eric said, everybody coming together and being willing to talk about it. And I know and understand 100% that the city has rules and that there are boundaries and all that. But I'd love for all of us to keep in mind, this is a middle school campus that I'm talking about. This is, Minerva is in the middle of the school campus. Arcadia is in the middle of the school campus. And I just want you to put yourself in the shoes of a mom or a dad getting a call in the middle of the day that your child has been hit by a car.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay. Principal.
Push this. Perfect. Yes, Mrs. Bledsoe. So while we're on the topic of this, the parents will know from my call-outs in the beginning of the school year for at least, I don't know, 8 weeks, I harp on our traffic patterns, especially in the morning and the afternoon, because that's where I've seen the most close calls. And I think that, I do think we're almost 75% of the residents if you look at how many houses are on or around the campus. But one of the other things that we've seen, there is no crosswalk on Landon at Thacker on the other side of the school, which is where a lot of our students will walk up, because we do have lots of kids that live right behind the school on Landon, Arcadia, and Minerva, and on Landon as well. And so we have a lot of kids that will cross this way. We also have a lot of parents that will drop their kids off at Tropical Smoothie in the morning or another local business, and they get Tropical Smoothie and then they walk to school. And so we do have quite the traffic coming, foot traffic anyway, coming from that direction. We don't have the manpower. I was trying. I had a teacher volunteer for a long time at the beginning of the school year that would go out there with the stop sign. I even had some students that I trained as crossing guards themselves, like fifth grade safety patrols, and they would be out there with an adult crossing kids back and forth too, because we probably have about 50 kids walk up that way in the morning. We're a school of 881, and the mass number are, I mean, we're maybe 150 get off on buses in the morning. The rest are car riders minus the 50 that walk in and maybe the 20 that are bike riders. So if that can even be looked at, the crosswalk just right there, just so that there is one, because I will say if you did a traffic study of Landon right there, people go, I would say they go the fastest down Landon Avenue right behind the school when kids are walking up in the morning. And it's very hard to see when parents are turning out from Thacker and cars are coming through and kids are coming through, because there's a lot of bushes right there, but it's on the person's property. It's not like anybody's fault. It just is hard to see, especially with the sun in the morning too. It gets very, very difficult. And the other one, that there are a lot of no parking signs around the campus, but no one adheres to them, the neighborhood at least. We call code enforcement at least twice to three times a month just to have them come out, even though we could call probably every single day, because there are people parking on Thacker, there are people parking on Arcadia, and people parking on Minerva, where they park outside their residence, and it blocks our car rider, it blocks our buses from getting through without any traffic jam, and so that creates an issue for us as well. I do think that the two crosswalks on Atlantic will be fabulous. I would echo the sentiments of if it had flashing lights or any kind of crosswalk with a speed hump would be much more beneficial, especially if there was maybe two speed humps, one at the beginning of the road and one that's closer down to where we are crossing our students. That would be extraordinarily beneficial, because what we do have right now, and we have added more things, we have the little yellow kitties that you can put in the road. We put those out when they go out now from gym class. I bought two stop signs that say stop on both sides, so each coach as they're walking out is in one of them is at least in the road with the stop sign as well. And I have gone, and so if all the APs have gone to every class that said do not cross if there is not an adult in the road. And we've had those conversations again, even though they've already taken place multiple times. So those are just my thoughts and like what I see. I'm also not just the principal, I'm a Landon parent too of a seventh and an eighth grader. So it's also, that's one of the things that I try to put in my messaging, is that as a mom, I don't want to make that phone call ever. And we have had, like I said, we've had a lot of close calls of parents who are dropping off in the wrong spot.
Mm-hmm.
Almost hitting kids, and people trying to get to work almost hitting kids. And then the lunchtime, I mean, 881 kids will cross the street between 1045 and 110, because that's all the gym classes. So between 1040, or I'm sorry, between 815 and 115, they will cross, every one of them.
Well, I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate the job you do. I mean, you, like, got to be everything. I know that's a lot of pressure. But you're smiling. You got your Landon orange going on there. So.
Always, always.
Anybody from the public that would like to speak? Because like we got to make it quick, but I don't want to not invite anybody from the public that would like to speak. Councilman, would you like to say, have anything else to say?
Yeah, I'm just so glad for the principal and the parents' participation. Glad that the
Before I turn it back over to Councilmember Cumber, Ms. Pearson, do you have anything that you would like to add? Or
thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate
okay,
it.
You're welcome. Councilmember Cumber, I'll turn it over to you, and anything you have to say? Or
No, just thank you, everyone, for working on this, and there's definitely solutions, and we're in good hands with Chris and John, and there's a lot of different things now that you can do with traffic calming. So I think that that's, you know, it is, these are solutions that we can implement rather quickly. So I like the idea of having a July meeting to see what we've done and see if there's any more steps to take.
Okay. John, do you have any, the Director of Public Works, would you like to say something? Okay, good. Well, I know Councilmember Cumber has been involved in this quite a bit, and I'm there to help you any way that I can. And With that said, meeting is adjourned.